Romans chapter 15. Romans 15, beginning in verse number 1, we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another, according to Christ Jesus. Ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore receive ye one another, as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Now I say that Jesus Christ was the minister of the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made unto the fathers, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, for this cause I will confess to thee among the Gentiles, and sing unto thy name. And again he saith, rejoice ye Gentiles with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all ye Gentiles, and laud him, all ye people. And again Isaiah saith, there shall be a root of Jesse, and he shall rise to reign over the Gentiles. In him shall the Gentiles trust. Now, before we get into the message, I want to look at a couple verses here that we just read, because I think it's really important to talk about these also. And he says in verse 8, now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made unto the fathers. That right there tells you Jesus Christ's ministry was to the Jews. The vast majority of what Jesus Christ said on this earth was directed directly at the Jews, directly at a nation. And Paul confirms it here again, yet again in this verse, where he says that Jesus Christ was confirming the promises made to the fathers. Now, I understand from the foundation of the earth, Jesus Christ was lamb slain. I understand all that. I understand God knew that he was going to save, be the Savior of the world. Calvin missed that, but God knew it, amen. He's the Savior of the world. He died for the world. But he came and walked this earth and ministered to the Jews. The reason he came and talked to the Jews is because he's their king. Even Herod knew that. Where is he that is born king of the Jews? He wasn't waiting to be anointed. He was born king of the Jews, and they rejected him. God anointed him before he was ever born. Amen? So he came to preaching to Israel about a kingdom, an earthly kingdom. And those in charge did not want to let go of the power. They didn't want to accept the truth. They would rather go to hell than accept the truth. Like people today would rather go to hell than accept the truth. And most of what's being preached come out of hell, unless it's preached out of the Bible and lines up with Jesus Christ's truth for the church age that he gave mostly to Paul. But he also says something else interesting. We might have two messages today, because I might get caught up in this part. But here we are looking at this. It says, rejoice ye Gentiles with his people. Isn't that something? Even in the church age, God delineates between Israel and the church and Israel and the Gentiles. Now, I understand spiritually, if you're saved, there's no Jew or Greek. You're one in Christ. You're the bride of Christ. You're the body of Christ. But without salvation, outside of salvation, they're still his people, which are the Jews and Gentiles. And the Gentiles are just still dogs without Christ. And Israel is still his people without Christ. But with Christ, in Christ, you're neither Jew nor Greek. You become a child of God. Israel's not a child. Israel is a nation, it's called a son, but individual Israelites are not children. They're people. They're his people. that he called out and made promises to that were eternal promises. I'm telling you, it's not just Romans chapter 11. It's not just Zechariah. It's not just Jeremiah. It's not just Isaiah. It's not just Ezekiel. It's not just Daniel. It's not just Revelation that proves that God is not through with Israel. I mean, we're looking at Paul talking about and giving the differentiation right here again. Again, you have to be careful when you're looking at the elect and you're looking when God calls His people, because the majority of time the elect and the majority of time His people are Israel. And the few times the elect are not His people Israel, it's Jesus Christ. And we can. There's a time or two you could apply it to the church. It says elect according to foreknowledge. You're elected and predestinated to be conformed to the image of Christ according to the foreknowledge of God. Not because God made you get saved, because God knew that from the time you trusted Jesus Christ, you were going to be predestinated to be conformed to the image of His Son. Where's predestination and election come in for the saved people, for the church? At salvation. It doesn't apply before that. Amen, amen, and amen. But the devil likes to get in there and mess with stuff. That being said, back in verse number 1, looking at this passage from 1 to 12, verses 1 to 12, we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. He's talking about the strength. The infirmities of the weak, you know what was going on? There were people that were strong in meaty, scriptural, doctrinal things, and there were people that were weak. And the people that were strong, he's warning them not to destroy the people that are weak because they're weak. Amen? What he's telling them, it's like a grown man beating up on a woman. If you're a grown, mature Christian and somebody comes along and they're honestly, earnestly trying to save the Lord and they're just messed up on some things, don't destroy them over it. That's what he was talking about when he was talking about meat and some eat it, some don't, observing days and things like that. He said, don't beat them up and destroy them over it because they're young. It's like kids. When you tell kids something, they don't understand everything you're talking about. So don't destroy them. Give them a chance to understand. Bring them along. Help them to grow. Amen? And that's what this passage is about. Now, I understand if you look at the whole picture in Romans, we're supposed to depart from people that depart from the doctrine, that are separating over doctrine, that are teaching false doctrine, and things like that. But when people come along and they're earnestly trying to serve the Lord, I had a brother in Christ ask me one time, he said, what do you think about this gap thing. He was a young Christian. Everybody that went to our church, as far as we knew, believed it. They preached it. They taught it as an essential doctrine for salvation almost. But I said, look, man, you can take it or leave it. I don't know what to tell you. To me, their thing about new heaven, you know, three earths, and then we go over to the Bible, it says new heaven and new earth, because the first heaven and the first earth. So that's only two earths. So how could there be three of them? Because at the end, there's only two. So me, I don't believe it. But that's not something we need to be divided over. If you want to believe it, believe it. If you don't want to believe it, but don't tell me if I don't believe it that I'm lost or something, or that I'm an idiot. I'm an idiot, but not because of that. Amen? We're all idiots. Praise the Lord. Welcome to the club. But you know what I didn't do? I didn't. At that time, my ego's got the best of me. Yours has too, probably. But I didn't go, oh, that's stupid. You're an idiot if you believe that. I'll give you 500 reasons that's wrong. This is a young believer that was winning souls to Christ that had an earnest question, an honest question. What I could have done and what my flesh would have probably rather done was say, these people are stupid. They believe that. And if you believe it, you're a bozo too. And that's what God's saying. Don't do that to people. If they're honestly causing division and you can see it's of the devil, sometimes you've got to put the pedal to the metal and say, beat it, Jack. We're not putting up with that. We'll have none of that. The Bible says this. That's not true. But he's saying the strong bear the infirmities of the weak. Bear with them. Endeavoring. Remember, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit? We're endeavoring for unity. Religion's endeavoring for disunity. Isn't that something? They want to unify on disunity. Oh, you can believe that, you can believe that. They're opposite, but your truth, your truth, your truth, your truth, your reality is your reality, and that's not what God says. God gave us a Bible. We try to rightly divide it. When you go against obvious Bible doctrine and you're dogmatic about it, you're trying to split a church about it, we're supposed to say, hey, that's wrong. We're not having it. But when people come up, Paul, he's telling them, look, be gentle with them. They're kids. They're young. They don't know. Like the Lord does us. Even though he's talking about strong, the strong in the faith, the Lord's still looking at us going, they're just growing up. We have not arrived. Paul talked about that. I have not apprehended, not that I have apprehended, because Paul knew that he hadn't reached the pinnacle of understanding. He hadn't reached the perfection that God wanted him to have. He hadn't reached the maturity level. But he's talking about the strength. Where does the strength come from? From strong meat. And sometimes people can't handle that. They're not ready for it yet. But the strength, the last part of that verse says, and not to please ourselves. There's the selflessness. Not to please ourselves. Now, the opposite of pleasing ourselves would be what? Usually pleasing God. Amen. It would be pleasing and make me feel real good. I'd be the big man if I could destroy you with Scripture. Paul said, don't do that. Bear with them. Don't do it to please yourself, do it to please the Lord. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good edification. The edification is bringing them along, to helping them grow. The strength, the selflessness, the sacrifice. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good edification. This flesh is all about self. This flesh is all about self. And the United States, we have been blessed so much that it's easier for the flesh to be about itself than in a lot of countries. Until you're saved and you understand spiritual, biblical unity, it's all about you. It really is. And that's what the judgment seat of Christ is actually going to meet out. It's going to decide what was about you and what was about Jesus Christ. There are a lot of people doing a lot of things that would on the outside look good, but they're doing it on the inside so they can get the praise. The sacrifice. Do it to be a blessing to somebody else. Be for the cause of Christ, to further the cause of Christ. Look at this. For even Christ pleased not himself. He didn't. He pleased the Father. But as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproached thee fell on me. Everybody that hated God, Jesus Christ took the brunt of it. The Savior. He didn't come to please himself. You know what his flesh wanted to do? His flesh wanted another option than Calvary. Amen. And that wasn't a sin. If he would have ran from Calvary, that would have been a sin. Not my will, but thine be done. Because in the flesh, he was going through it. He understood what it was like to go through pain and suffering and weariness and all the ridicule and everything that you and I would suffer later. He understood those things, the loss, the heartache, the heartbreak, the temptations. But he didn't come to please himself. He came to please the Father. Remember what the Father said? This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. You know what he couldn't say about the first Adam? This is my Son in whom I am well pleased. Adam was the Son of God. Jesus Christ was the beloved Son of God, the only begotten Son of God. Adam fell, so the last Adam came along to do what the first Adam didn't and couldn't. Amen. But the Savior, he came to please the Father. I don't know about you, but sometimes after we make a mess, we're like, oh, what would please the Father? Oh, can't back that train up. Amen. Here, verse 4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, and that we, through patience and hope and comfort, of the Scripture, How about that? Comfort. Patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. The Scripture. What's the Scripture for? The Scripture is everything from Genesis 1 all the way to the Revelation 22, the last verse. Genesis 1:1 all the way to the end. That's the Scripture. You know what it's saying here? That which is written aforetime is written for our learning and admonition. It's saying it's written for us to learn something from. And whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. When Moses come down off the mount with the Ten Commandments, that does not apply to you for salvation. That applies to you to point you to salvation. It's for our learning. What do you learn from that? We can't keep the law. We're a mess. He kept it for us. We're guilty. That's what the Bible says in Romans. It says that the whole world may become guilty before God. That's what the purpose of the law was, to make you, to show you you're guilty. The Scripture, get people out there, well, that's not what Paul's writings, and we only go by Paul's writings. You're missing a lot if you're only going by Paul's writings. You're going to be spiritually anemic if you're only going by Paul's writings. And you're going to be spiritually confused if you're going by everybody's writings, trying to make it all one doctrine. You can't take what Jeremiah said, and what Jesus said, and what Paul said, and what James said, and when they're saying different things, say, well, it's all for us, directed at us. And that's what people try to do. And they wrestle with the Scripture to do that. But the Scripture is given for our learning. And we're supposed to study and rightly divide so we can have understanding. We talked about it before, and I really think it's important to talk about this. What can you learn from Israel? You can learn who you are. Because when you look at that, when God's for us, who could be against us? You look at Israel, and when God said move, they moved, they always won. When God said quit, and they don't, and they did, they always lost. And God blessed Israel, and the more He blessed them, the further they got away from Him sometimes. So what's that mean? Crazy Israel. No, that's us. That's human nature. He was showing human nature in a chosen people. He chose the people out of a mess of the world and gave them special attention, and they still messed it up. He has a bride. He has a body of Christ, and He's given us something He never gave anybody else in any other dispensation right here. The complete light. You've got it. And we still mess things up. So, Israel, boy, they're going to... too much is given, much is required. You've been given way more than Israel was ever given. Except they were given their king, their Messiah. But as far as direction, you've been given way more light than they ever had. And way more than they'll accept right now. But they'll get it later. The Scripture. Telling everybody to do right. Look at verse 5. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus, the source. If you're going to do what Paul's telling you to do, the source of that is God. That almost make you a Calvinist. You ain't going to do nothing right without Him. How do you do that? Well, now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus. What's this saying? Like-minded one toward another. Sometimes you're going to have to bear with me. Sometimes I'm going to have to bear with you. Sometimes born-again believers are going to have to put up with each other. Be like-minded to say it's not about me, it's about you. I want your benefit. Amen? Then we wouldn't have 1st, 2nd, 3rd, 4th, 5th, 6th, New Baptist, Hope Baptist, No Hope Baptist, all that. We wouldn't have all that if people just get a hold of this. Be in me with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore receive you one another, as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Now we see the surrendered. Surrender to God, do what He's called you to do. Receive each other the way Christ received us. Well, when that brother or sister gets right, I'm going to put up with them. Until then, you know, God never said, repent of all your sins and then I'll save you. He said, turn to me and I'll save you and I'll help you get through that sin mess. If He was waiting for us to be perfect so we could be saved, we'd all be in hell. Surrender to the will of God. He said, man, I didn't know that was in Romans. I'll neither die until God showed me, but there's some stuff in his book. Amen. Wherefore receive you one another, as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made unto the fathers, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, for this cause I will confess to thee among the Gentiles and sing unto thy name. And again he saith, rejoice ye Gentiles with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all ye Gentiles, and laud him, all ye people. The singing and the praising. Isn't that something? The Gentiles should praise God because he turned to the Gentiles. The people, his people, the Jews, already had enough reason to praise him before he turned to the Gentiles. The singing of praise. See that delineation again? Gentiles and people. Everybody. And again, Isaiah saith, there shall be a root of Jesse, and he shall rise to reign over the Gentiles. In him shall the Gentiles trust. We see the seed. You know, the seed is the root. Isn't that something? The seed is the root. He's the seed of David in the flesh and the root of Jesse, because he was before Jesse, and Jesse was David's father, that he was the seed of. Isn't that something? Why is that? Because Jesus Christ is eternal. His flesh came after David from that seed line through the Jews. But his God part lasted forever in both directions. He had no beginning and no end. He's Jesus. He's God. You can't throw out enough. God won't let the Jehovah's Witnesses even throw out enough Bible that you can't see he's God. Even in their perversions, you can see he's God. The devil can't get rid of the fact that Jesus Christ is God. He just wants to take away evidence. He wants to get you to doubt it. That seed. Paul comes down through here. If you read 14, if you want, when you go home and read 14 and read this passage in 15, put it in a little more context of what he's talking about. But he's talking about being charitable. He's talking about not destroying him that are weak. In 14, he talks about being strong. And if you're strong, don't be proud about it. We're strong in the Lord and the power of his might. It's his might. It's the word of God. If you've been fortunate and blessed to be saved, believe the book, put your faith in the book, been taught the book, studied the book, meditated on the book, and God has shown you light from the book, it's because God did it. All you did was submit to his will, and then he blessed that. He didn't do it because you're special. He did it because he's special. Amen. That's what Paul's saying. Don't beat the people to death that are not understanding everything you know. Paul could have eviscerated them. Christ did. Amen. But he was right. He eviscerated them Pharisees. But he's saying, your brothers in Christ, the weak ones, don't let the devil use you to stop them. They have a zeal. Bring them along so they'll have the knowledge. The strength, the selflessness, that's a hard part right there, that selflessness. The sacrifice. Understand what sacrifice really is. I mean, we think in America, you think sacrifice is putting a buck in the plate. That's a sacrifice. Because I could have bought a cheeseburger with that. No, a sacrifice is when you tell the flesh no and tell the Lord yes. Amen. Sacrifice is when you give out of need, not out of abundance. The Savior, he came not to please himself, please the Father. The Scripture, the source, surrendered, singing of praise. Think about that again. And again, Isaiah saith, there shall be a root of Jesse, and he shall rise to reign over the Gentiles. And in him shall the Gentiles trust. That's something to sing about, amen? God could have said, you know what, I'm just going to wipe the rest of the world out, and I'm going to take Israel through the tribulation, and I'll pick up a few of my people back here, the ones that want to turn to me. He could have just done that, and he'd have been right because he's God. But he chose to do something totally different than that. He chose to bless the dogs that were going after him when his people were going from him. You know why? Because he wants praise. He wants praise. Why does he want praise? Because he's worthy. He's the only one worthy of it. And people are putting it everywhere else. Everywhere else. And that's what it really boils down to, Paul saying, look, it's not about me and you, it's about him. It's about him. The saddest part, go back to verse number 6 for a minute. We'll wrap this up. That ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Man should unify to glorify God. Would you agree? I mean, lost people should glorify God. They will. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. He's judge, he's jury. And he'll be executioner. He's worthy of all glory, honor, and praise. Anything that ever happened that was good and godly and eternally right is because of him. Everything. Everyone should glorify him. And they will. You realize they'll glorify him before they're cast into a lake of fire? The ones that reject him here? Every knee will bow. Every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. How about that? Everybody's going to glorify him. He's got to be scratching his head going, why don't the people that I've saved and given eternal life to glorify me all the time? Amen? The saddest part is he's talking about that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God. One mind's being right-minded and like-minded. And one mouth is saying the same thing. It's him, not us. You see, people don't get it. Right here, right now, today, in your seat, I know there's, what, 8 of us in here? Whatever. I know, 9, 10, whatever. You're getting something most of the world will never get. You're getting to understand something most of the world will never understand. You're going to understand something by the grace of God, through the power of his word, by his Holy Spirit this morning, that most born-again believers will never understand. That it's not about us at all. Everything that was about us, he did on Calvary. It's all about him. We're supposed to be one-minded, like-minded, and have one mouth, and that one mouth should do the same thing. Your mouth should do the same thing mine does. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus Christ. Amen. And you know, since nobody gets that, and people don't get that, and people don't... They don't get it preached to them. They don't get it taught to them. They don't read it. They don't beg God to show them something and look at that and understand it. Or they reject it because they don't want it. They'll never please God on this earth. And there's going to, until God calls us out of here, even so come Lord Jesus, it's going to keep getting worse. The churches are going to keep getting worse. And it's not because of the devil. It's because of the flesh. The devil gets way too much credit. He doesn't even, all he's got to do is light the fuse. It'll blow up on its own. Amen. The powder in the explosion is the flesh. Amen. It is. Well, I know more than you know. Well, congratulations. That don't amount to a lot. Amen. I'm more spiritual than you are. Yeah, if you're talking about it, you probably are. Yeah, really. Sarcasm. Amen. Well, them Baptists believe that once saved, always saved. That's pride. That's pride. Hate is always hooked to pride. Division is always hooked to pride. Confusion is always hooked to pride. War. Murder. It's always hooked to pride. Rejecting the truth of once saved, always saved is hooked to pride. Oh, you're so proud. You think you know you're going where you're going. I know because the Bible says it. You're the one that's so proud you think you're earning it and keeping it. Matter of fact, not only that, you think everybody else is losing it, but you're keeping it. Amen. Because the only sin you can't lose it is the sin you're doing. And the worst sin there is a sin of pride. It's connected to everything else, and that's what they've got. And it's taken them over because they don't understand this passage. They reject this passage. They reject the truth of the fact that it is Him. You read over in Revelation where they're glorifying Him and bragging on Him and hallelujah, praising Him. He's worthy of all glory and honor and praise. The word all doesn't catch them. He's worthy of all glory, honor, and praise. He shouldn't be having to share it with you and me. Amen. The devil's got, he's on vacation most of the time. It's you. It's us. If we could just get over ourselves. Some people just can't get over themselves. Amen. So, well, I can't believe people kiss the Pope's ring. You got your own ring you're kissing. It's yours. Amen. You may never come back after this. So I'm going to let you have the whole load today. Amen. We're just going to unload the wagon. If I'm going to upset you, you're going to be really upset because you may not come back for another one. But the truth is, you'll walk closer with Jesus Christ if you can just get over yourself. I have trouble getting over myself sometimes. You know what I mean? We do because it's the flesh. The devil's sitting around drinking a pina colada somewhere going, I don't even have to mess with them Baptists. They're just a goofy bunch of self-centered, self-righteous, you know. Well, at least we're right. And the devil used that. He used your enemy to get you to hunker down and dig in and say, I'm not moving this because I'm right. Bless God, I'm right. No matter what. You battle with that too? The balance of being right and realizing the only reason you're right about anything is because God's giving you the truth and you submitted to it. Other than that, you're wrong. Isn't it amazing? The intensity, the subtlety of the battle. All the devil's got to do is light the fuse. You blow up on your own. Because he knows that every one of us has enough pride in us to mess things up. And one day we're going to look at him and go, that's the one that caused all the problems? And I believe God's probably going to add a scripture in there and go, no, it was you. You just give him the credit. And you spent so much time giving him the credit for everything that was going wrong that you weren't giving me the credit for everything that was good. Amen, amen, and amen. And the devil's jealous probably of some born-again believers. Like, good night, I'm not even that messed up. How'd they get there? I say that joking, but I mean, you know what I mean. It's us. We got verse 5. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus. So every once in a while, if you're not reading your Bible, you should, because when you read it, God will put you in your place and say, you know what? I know that person drives you nuts. That person's attacking you. That person's rejecting what you're saying. That person's ridiculing you. That person's on the little fox's spoil the vine. I don't... The truth is, you're not taking anything compared to what I took on Calvary, and you're not right and holy. And if you get bad, you deserve it, and I took all the bad and didn't deserve any of it. Makes it easier to look at the one that's annoying you and go, you know what? I keep telling my wife that so I don't annoy her as much. Just keep reading your Bible, and you realize that I'm a goofball, and you can just deal with it. But we've got this almost communal relationship that we try to maintain with the Lord instead of a personal relationship. We go to church, we bow down to the believers, and I know God likes that. He does. But He really likes it when you get down on your knees and ask Him to show you something, and you get His Word opened up and let Him talk to you. You done talk to Him, now He's going to talk to you. I believe if you had to choose between that and being in church and you couldn't do both, that would be the one to do. Pray and read your Bible. But He didn't say to make that choice. Amen? because he expects somebody like me to come in here on Sunday and Wednesday and go, I don't know what I'm going to tell him, Lord. I'll be Balaam's donkey for you. If you fill my mouth, I'll spit it out. And you get something by the grace of God in spite of me because of his word and his spirit that you need for the rest of the week. Amen. That's what church is about. That's a big part of what church is about. It's great to get together and praise him and sing them. I love that song. That one song 110 in the Blue Book, I sing that every day. We could meet just to sing that song. That'd be great. Pray and sing that song. I love it. But the Lord, when we get together and open that book up, it's so important because you're not doing it on your own all the time. And if you are, your heart's not always open to it. Sometimes you're doing it just because you're doing it. And you should be doing it. You know you should be doing it. And keep doing it if that's the reason you're doing it. But keep coming to church so I can tell you why you should really be doing it. Same reason I should. Because it's not all about us. And the only way you're going to remember that is the Lord keeps reminding you. Amen. Adam started it. So yeah, he ate that fruit. No, he said, the woman thou gavest to be with me. He didn't take responsibility. He blamed it on the woman. You know what God said? She's the weaker vessel. It's your fault, bozo. He didn't. That's my version of it. You know what he told Adam was, look, you and I had a personal relationship. You had a responsibility, the garden and the wife, but you and I had a personal relationship. You can't blame it on her. He didn't let Eve get away with it either. He said, you can't blame it on the devil. And the devil, like I said, didn't have a leg to stand on, amen? He just slithered on out. Fight another day. Here comes the last Adam. Has every right to stand there with his hands up and a crown on his head and say, worship me. And instead, he denied his flesh, went to Calvary, and took what you and I deserve. Why? For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproached thee fell on thee. He took all the sin. He became sin for you and took all the hate for God, the Father, on himself on Calvary. And you know what it did? It pleased the Father. So I just want to please God. I'm going to drill a well in Uganda, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that. How about praying and submitting to him? Reading his book. I'm telling you, the devil has done a real job. I hate to put certain qualifiers on it. He done a real job on getting people to quit reading the book. And if you believe it and you understand it and you try to rightly divide it, he'll do a real job on trying to get you too busy to read it or too emotionally disturbed to read it because of everything that's going on. You're getting hit with all the stuff. Well, you got racism, you got the Muslims, you got the Democrats, you got the Republicans, you got this, you got the Lord, you got the Bible. If you just forget everything else, it gets pretty good. Amen? What can you do about the other stuff? Pray, read your Bible. He's going to fix it anyway. I already read Revelation. It don't matter who wins the next election. Amen? And again, I'm not saying not to vote. I'm just saying don't get so stressed over it. So Hunter Biden's your next president. Oh, man. You'd be able to buy crack with EBT. No, I'm just kidding. All this stuff that Paul went down through here, it all boils down to this. It's not about us. It's about him. It's about him. And if you make it about him, you'll be able to stand before the Lord at the judgment seat of Christ, and he can say, well done, our good and faithful servant. You glorified me. See, there's more to that parable where they come to him, or that story where he says they come to him and they said, haven't we done many good works in our name? Haven't we done this and that? It's not just that many people are doing things in the name of Christ that are lost. Many people are doing things so they can say, look what we did, instead of look what he did. And we've all been there. We all have this flesh to fight. And the only possibility you have to defeat the flesh is with the Word of God. The Word of God. Father, we love you and thank you for Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for the opportunity to meet today. Lord, again, thank you for your Word.